You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy Friday. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. If you want to get a hold of us this morning, it's easy to do. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That'll get you either texting or calling. And if you do call, be nice to Parker. It's Friday. The young boy needs happiness. He couldn't even put on a regular shirt today. He's just wearing an undershirt.
It's an American Eagle shirt.
Oh, is it? It just looks like a white undershirt.
Yeah, and I'm wearing pink pants.
Wow.
Look at you. Very stylish this morning.
Making a fashion statement. Look at that drip.
Nice. I got drip, Brian.
I know you got drip, Parker. There's no doubt about it. I've been calling you a drip since I met you. Yeah, I don't know what that meant. All right, well, it is Friday. This is exciting. Most of us, or a lot of folks, I don't know if most, a lot of folks have Monday off for Memorial Day. And so instead of going to work, they'll sleep late, they'll have barbecues. Hopefully, they'll take a couple seconds to realize why they have the day off. That would be a good day. And can we also, every year this gets to me. And I don't know why. I mean, I'm not a veteran. I didn't lose anybody in the war, but I'm a stickler for the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
Yes.
And there's a huge difference. Veterans Day honors all veterans, living, dead, everything. Memorial Day is just to pay tribute to the men and women who died in service to this country.
Right.
There is a big difference. And I think even veterans, I'd love to hear from you if this is true. You don't want it confused either, but people either, you know, because they're so worried about posting something on social media to virtue signal that, oh, look, we care about our veterans, that they conflate the two, and then they get all snippy when you correct them and go, listen, and that the correction isn't to say veterans don't matter,
right?
Because they do, but this is a whole different thing.
And I don't know why it would be a social media thing and why anybody would be upset if you supported veterans or memorialized the fallen or
if you correct them, they're like, well, what's the difference? Don't you? It's, you know, it's, well, I don't know. Living veterans probably think there's a huge difference between being a living veteran.
Right.
And being somebody who died in war.
You know, here's the thing that I always tell people, and I know we depend on a lot of technology. Use Google. Just use Google. I mean, it will help you out so that you can find all of the mysteries of the world if you really need to know the differences. Now, I would hope that some of us are smarter and we just know some of these things off the top of our heads. I know we all have people in our life, though, that you could probably just say, use Google. It will help you. It's your friend.
it's not that hard. And I didn't mean to. Listen. We're starting a Friday by chastising people. But before you go into the weekend,
Remember.
Jamie said, just Google it a little bit.
Just remember what the holiday is. I think here's the thing. You know, and when it comes to like places, holidays like Memorial Day and Labor Day, I think the true meaning behind these holidays and these particular moments in time get lost because all everybody thinks is I have a 3-day weekend and it's the unofficial kickoff to summer. That's all people are thinking about. Yeah, you forget the true meaning.
I'm guilty of it too.
Of course.
My first thought is, we don't have to work on Monday. Then I'll think about why we don't have to work on Monday. And when Molly was in high school and played in the bands, every Memorial Day there was in our little town square, like in a lot of town squares, and we're going to cover it in towns all across the network, there's these ceremonies on Monday. You know, the in ours it was the reading of the names of the local people who died in service to this country and the ringing of the bell and the flag raising and stuff. And it was always very moving. It struck me every year that we went to this, how many people there were. And I was like, boy, I lived in a little town. I didn't realize that that many that many people not only had been, I mean, you always know there's a lot of veterans out there.
Right.
But that had been killed in service to the country. I was like, wow.
We just, all we're asking is for you to take a moment over this long 3-day weekend and remember why you might actually have the day off. Remember why you're actually celebrating. And as you mentioned, we'll talk about some of the celebrations and moments that are going to happen across the state. But just remember, and if you don't really know the difference, educate yourself, because we all need to do that at different times about different things. We don't want to chastise anybody, but just
I like chastising I feel people. Like you, I like proving people wrong.
This is true. I feel like we need to take time in our lives, all of us, at certain moments to better educate ourselves and, you know, take that time to be like, hey, I don't really know why we do this, so maybe I should learn at some point.
And as you said, it's not like you have to take a 6-hour master class.
No.
You do 30 seconds on the computer and
it's
know.
Amazing.
And I am going to have my flag out, whether it's whether it draws the ire of hardcore liberals or not. That's the way it goes.
See, Mary,
but I am looking forward to a little. I am also looking forward to a little time off.
Of course,
a Sunday where there's no Sunday scaries.
Right.
That's always nice.
Hopefully,
no, Monday scaries.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, Alicia.
Well, I mean, unless you're going to call us in for an emergency show, which is fine. You know, let me know if the world goes more crazy on Sunday, we need to it. Alicia, who we know is a veteran, she messages us all the time. She says, yes, to us veterans, Memorial Day is very different from Veterans Day. I assumed that, but to be honest, I knew I wasn't wrong.
I wonder, as veterans, I wonder if sometimes they just get tired of explaining it to the rest of us. Right. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if there comes a point in veterans' lives where they're just like, you know what? I tried. Never mind. Because
and also, can I bring this up too? Since we're talking about this, we've started the show on a different note than I think any of us thought we were going to. Do veterans ever get tired of people saying thank you for your service? Because in some cases, I don't know how many people actually are, but they think that's what they're supposed to say.
Right.
And, you know, while veterans have had an important job, they were, me asking that is not shade on veterans. I think everybody's clear on that. But it's like, how many people say it just because they think they're supposed to say it?
Right.
And if you're a veteran and somebody finds out you're a veteran and they just say that, are you like, shut up?
You know, right. Okay. Yeah.
Or do you just, well, thank you. Because, you know, we've seen how America treats its veterans, and it's not really with gratitude.
No, it's not.
It's more with just ignoring them and cutting their services and just basically disdain.
Yeah. My husband is always one of those people who always says thank you, but he sincerely means it, especially when he sees a veteran with a Vietnam vet hat on or a bumper sticker. His dad was a Vietnam veteran, and we lost
and
him.
They got nothing.
They got nothing. And we lost his dad a few years ago to the ramifications of Agent Orange, right? Which is not a story untold for Vietnam veterans, and, had lots of lung issues. I ended up having to go through all of the process and the work over the years to actually get the benefits because, as you mentioned, they were treated so poorly when they came home. And those veterans missed out on a lot of medical help and mental health help. And so we did lots of paperwork over the years to make sure that my father-in-law received some of the care, especially at the end, that he deserved as a veteran, as all veterans in this country absolutely deserve. So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's interesting, but I don't know when. I mean, at one point in this country, right? And again, if you're a veteran listening this morning and you do want to chime in, we would actually love to hear from you. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. When did we quit honoring our veterans? When did we quit honoring?
Vietnam was when it started.
Okay.
Because World War II, you know, we beat Hitler. So everybody, we saw the way people were treated when we came home, and there was the VA was created, and the my dad went to school on the GI Bill, and there was a lot of that kind of stuff. So I think after, like I said, after World War II, because then we got into Korea, and that's where my dad was. And, you know, nobody was really sure why we were in Korea. It was a whole big thing. And so, but it wasn't as bad as Vietnam. Vietnam, because everybody here had taken to the streets, there were protests everywhere, and veterans were being spit on and taunted and scorned when they came back. And that was it. And then there was that time, I think there was a public sentiment at some point, not for everybody, but, you know, the military used to be an alternative for some people rather than going to jail.
Yes.
Judges used to sentence you to, you could either, and Parker, you probably didn't know this, but that was a thing. If you were a delinquent like yourself and you got into trouble, the judge could say, well, you either go to jail or you join the army.
Yeah, I've heard that before, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and so that people were like, well, these, you know, it's criminals that are going into the armed services, which we know was not
always
the total case, but it was, no, I know that wasn't the whole case.
No, I get it.
But it was a perception that was held by most people that it wasn't the kind of career you chose, despite evidence to the contrary from all the men and women who chose the military as a career. So that's, you know, long way to answer your question. I think it was Vietnam was when it started.
Well, if you're listening this morning, you are a veteran or you're somebody who's currently serving or you're even a family member. Thank you for your service because you do something that the rest of us, some of us are never going to be brave enough to do. So we appreciate all that you sacrifice. Now, if you do want to honor some of these veterans over the course of the next few days, there are actually ceremonies happening all across the Talk Network. If you are in Madison, listening this morning on MDX, there's this one's really cool. The annual ceremony at the Wisconsin State Capitol is returning Monday morning at 10 a.m. That's after a six-year hiatus. So if you want to be a part of that, you can be at the Capitol. There's also going to be an early morning ceremony that will take place at Forest Hill Cemetery. That's at 8 a.m. And then a sunset memory garden will feature the Avenue of Flags. There's going to be thousands of flags honoring veterans in Madison. So that's always a really cool sight to see. Brian and Eau Claire, there's also going to be some moments to honor the veterans. There's going to be a Memorial Day parade. 9:30. I love a good parade. I really, really do. I always get excited about a parade. That's at 9:30. Starts at Wilson Park, ends at Owen Park if you're in Eau Claire. There's also going to be a formal ceremony that follows the parade at the band shell at Owen Park. And then they're going to have some cemetery ceremonies throughout the mid-morning as well. But the festivities, you could say, because some of these are true celebrations put on by American Legions, and that's going to happen across the state.
Yeah, the Hayward's got a lot of stuff happening. Wisconsin Rapids has ceremonies going on. Wausau is having a parade, but their parade is Saturday in downtown Wausau, and then the remembrance service is Monday at 11 o'clock. And then La Crosse has a parade on Memorial Day, flag placements, and a final tribute to be held at Riverside Park. So everywhere along the network is doing things. And if you're up early and you can hit one of those, it is a moving experience.
Yes.
And it kind of highlights things. Then you can go have your hamburgers and your beer and your brats. And
good way to remember why you're not off at work for some of you.
Yeah, take a nice nap. When we come back, there is so much more. We're just getting started. It's Friday morning. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. Hopefully you are having a great start to your Friday. It is very bright. It is very early, but we're here. And we're going to persevere through so that we can get to the weekend. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Yeah, Jamie, we're not going to get much sympathy. We have 2.5 hours before
we
get to the weekend. So I think we'll be all right. We did, though, get some texts. We were talking about Memorial Day and the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day and all the great remembrances and ceremonies that are going to be happening over the weekend. And we got a text from Tom in New Berlin. He says, Navy vet tomorrow, going to place flags at Woods Memorial, and a special one for my dad, World War II vet. Also, thanks for bringing up this subject. Well, you're welcome, Tom. Everybody is everybody should be thinking about it, and that's one of the reasons we get to have a holiday.
That's right. And Monday. Thank you very much for the text this morning. If you do want to join in on the conversation today, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. Important number because I think as we get into this next topic, we would like some opinion from our listeners.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Because this is. Listen, we can all agree that sometimes things happen and they don't go our way.
Right.
And you can either accept it and let it go, or you can keep screaming about it and screaming about it, which is what Matthew and Annette Flynn are doing. They, Parker, you go to the Brewers games all the time. I've been to the Brewers games. Do you buy tickets for the 50-50 raffle?
No, I don't. I've never been a losing money kind of guy.
You went into radio.
Oh,
that completely
damn.
That completely discounts your last statement.
Oh God, you
Yeah, I'm
you
sorry to burst
world,
your worldview,
Brian.
But anyway, Jamie, I know you've bought 50-50, so have I.
Yeah,
you're giving it to charity. It's $2 a ticket.
Right.
The people come around, they go, "Oh, you buy this," and then because you see the number on the scoreboard, what you can take
it's
home.
It's exciting.
So yeah, sometimes it's like $13,000. Well.
Right.
That's what it was when the Flynns were at the game, and this was. This happened in May 19th. So an appeals court has disagreed with these poor people because what happened was they were there and they were sitting in the outfield, it sounds like. They were in section 234, row 9, seat 9. Why is that important? It proves that she was at the game. The scoreboard, however, was behind her, which is one of my only it's most ballparks.
Yeah.
It's at AmFam. It's even harder though.
Yes.
In a lot of spots, you don't get to see the huge jumbotron and the big scoreboard. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's a design flaw. That's not up for argument here.
Right.
The argument is there's a rule that says if your number is called and they do it at the top of the seventh. So they call the number at the bottom of the sixth. You have till the top of the seventh to get to the to get to the table. Well, that's where the problem comes because she didn't see her number called right away. Then she finds out it's her number. Ah! And I don't know if that's the sound she made, but it seems like it would be.
That's a good one. Yes.
Because it was up to $13,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Imagine going to a game and leaving with $13,000.
Yes.
Well, then she asked an usher where to go. And the usher... sent her down to guest services. Well, that's not where she was supposed to go. She had to make it up to the 50-50 table, which was on the concourse, which is where she was sitting until the usher sent her down to the other place.
Oh.
She got there late.
Oh, no.
She got to the table late. They said, sorry, we already drew another number because you were late.
Wow.
Well, instead of just being sad, she got litigious.
Yeah.
And now, they did. They went to small claims
this
court.
This has been going on for 3 years, though, right? This wasn't just a couple games ago.
No. This has been going on
3 years that they've been fighting
for
this.
Because they went and just recently, an appeals court said, you're done. Stop. But they said they might go to the Supreme Court. All right, when is enough enough?
That's the question.
Small claims said, no, you don't have a case. The appeals court said, no, you don't have a case. I empathize with these people because that would be awful.
Yeah.
Furious with that usher.
Yes.
There could be some sort of verbal and or not really physical abuse heaped on this usher for sending me when I could have walked 3 feet and been to the right place. But instead, they sent me downstairs, who then sent me back upstairs. And you know, those concourses are crowded. You can't get anywhere fast.
Yeah. And I think to make this worse is by the time she finally got to the table, right? To be clear, they're suing the Brewers Community Foundation. But by the time she got to the table, the foundation officials told her that because she didn't get there in time, they already drew a new ticket.
Yeah, that's...
And that person had already claimed their $13,000 prize. So
somebody went home with $13,000.
Wow. That's...
It just wasn't them. And again, I sympathize. That would be awful.
I sympathize, but here's the other thing. If you know where your seats are at, right? And you, because they do the announcements in the stadium, and I get sometimes it's hard to hear, I'm not saying that, but they do the announcements in the stadium, and you hear that they're doing the 50-50 raffle drawing, and if you know where your seats are at, and you know that you can't actually see one of the big boards from where you're at, but you know you bought the ticket, don't you try to actually do something to see the board?
Like I said, I buy these tickets, and I always figure it's a sunk cost. I don't anticipate winning.
True.
And unless I happen to be looking at the board when they put it up, I would have no idea where to go either. So part of me is like, you got to have your ushers and your staff
right. Know
exactly where to send people. Now, that's a Brewers training question.
Yes. Of course.
You don't sue the charity because the rules are there. Whatever reason you didn't make it, you didn't make it.
Here's the other thing that I think about with this story. They won $13,000. How much have they spent in legal fees over the last 3 years, right?
Well, they didn't win the 13. They left with nothing. And now they're like, to your point, they're spending all this money to try to do it. All right. Let's do a postmortem of the 2024 election after the news, shall we?
Sure.
I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:29 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. 6:35 right now. Thank you for listening this morning to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Okay, I know it's 2026, but here's our question for you this morning. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What's your postmortem on the 2024 election? And I know, just me saying it makes me want to laugh because, Jamie, you and I both know it's 2026.
Yes.
And usually a postmortem on an election, the national parties put those out fairly quickly. Well, the Democrats, it'll be surprised to no one when we get into some of the results. But there has been a lot of anticipation for this postmortem, the autopsy from the Democratic National Committee about the election. What happened why did we lose? What went so wrong that got Donald Trump reelected? Well, the DNC chairman, Ken Martin, said, oh, yeah, the report's coming out. The report's coming. Nope. I'm not releasing the report. There will be no report. Now, well, you kind of get a report, but it's an incomplete version. And we threw a little disclaimer at the top of it when we released it and CNN got it. It's not close to, because Martin said this is not close to being ready for public consumption. Well, dude, we got another election in 2 years, so you may want to crank it up a little bit. Well, anyway, some of it is out. The disclaimer at the top that CNN published said that the report reflects the views of the author, who is a Democratic consultant, Paul Rivera, not the DNC. Rivera, who people familiar with the matter say, wrote the report as a part-time volunteer.
Here's what I'm going to say. I've read a majority of this report, and we'll get into some of the details of it in just a moment. I don't disagree with the majority of what he said. Like,
yeah,
I actually don't disagree with a majority of what he says in this report.
what I'm dubious about is why the DNC decided to keep pushing it off and burying it. We know what happened. We lost. Why'd we lose? Well, you're going to step on some toes.
Yeah.
But that it's about time they step on some toes.
Don't you want to know what happened? I mean,
no.
I mean, you can live with your head in the sand, I guess, if that's what you essentially want to do.
It's easy that way,
but
Jamie. Then you don't have to face any hard reality.
This is true, and I understand that there's a lot of people who love to go through life that way. But at the same time, I think at some point you have to face what went wrong. And as I said, I don't disagree with a lot of what Rivera had in this report because some of it didn't make sense if you were watching it from afar during the election, right? And for a lot of people, the elections just happen in the peripheral, right? You know about the big stuff, the debates, maybe a campaign stop if it's near your home. But for people who work in politics, you're a little bit more entrenched. And so some of the things that I was watching, doing what we do, I was like, why? That didn't it, some of it didn't make any sense to me. So we can get into some of the details though.
Yeah, a lot of it made, like you said, to me it made sense too, and I follow politics, but I'm not entrenched. I would say I'm in it, but
yeah,
as a hostage. I feel like. I would much rather be free of having to deal with all this, just voting and knowing why I'm voting for who I'm voting for, and move on with that. So overall, Jamie, and we've discussed this many times, and I think if you're an honest Democrat, this report does not paint a pretty picture for the Democratic Party.
No.
It just says, oh, well, the elections have been very close, and that's okay. We don't need to it's been close. We don't need to rethink how we're doing it. Which is, they say, dumb. I'm paraphrasing.
There was a line in it, and I'm going to read this verbatim because this is a quote. This kind of thinking, talking about the party as a whole and their approach to elections, quote, this kind of thinking, denialist at its core, prevents the party from seeking real accountability and from making the changes we need to deliver on our promises to the American people. The report also went on to talk about since Barack Obama won in 2008, which seems almost 20 years ago now, if you're doing the math at home, it also goes on to say that the party has basically been stagnant and been in some sort of regression. And Rivera also says that as a whole, the Democrats have steadily lost ground since President Obama's success.
Yep. And that makes sense.
I don't disagree with that, because I think there was this philosophy of let's build off that momentum. Barack Obama built a coalition, but I don't see a lot of keeping that coalition and actually doing what they need to make sure that those voters feel secure or like their vote isn't just expected.
We talked about that the other day when something similar to this came up, and we were talking about how black voters did not feel they needed to vote for Kamala Harris just because she was black, and that the Democratic Party had moved away from doing what they had promised to do. And so why, when you're taken for granted as a voter or anywhere, you tend to move on. And this sentence meant a lot for me. Said that Democratic candidates have proven incapable of projecting strength, unity, and leadership, and voters have drifted away. And we've talked about this ad nauseum since 2016. The Republicans come out and they fight.
Yes.
And they fight and they fight and they fight and they keep hammering away. And whoever their candidate is, they rally behind that person and they fight. And Democrats, we bicker, we have strongly worded memos, we do not attack, we don't show people that we are willing to go down with the ship fighting for what we believe in and what we believe is best for this country. And Republicans do it all the time, and we have become very soft. We allowed the labels of woke and snowflake and all of that to become an identity rather than an insult that we argue back against.
I also think at some point, if you're a Democratic voter or somebody within the party who, you know, is trying to figure this out based on this report, I think you have to have a better plan than the other guy is worse. I mean, you have to have a better
100%.
Plan. And I'm not saying that Kamala Harris didn't have plans. I think she was probably one of the most prepared people I've ever seen to potentially be in the White House. However, I think the rollout of how the whole thing went down between the last minute Joe Biden deciding not to run, all of a sudden anointing her, I think that rubbed a lot of people within the party very much the wrong way. It rubbed a lot of independents the wrong way. You know, you can go back to, was that right? Was it wrong? Who knows? I mean, the election was lost. Here we are. So hopefully what they've done is look at that and learn a better process and figure out a better way in case those situations ever happen again. But to just basically campaign day after day on the other guy is worse and to not really allow Kamala Harris to have her own messaging on things like the economy, to never really push back on the Republicans, she's your border czar.
Which was never the case.
No.
And that's, there was a lot of blame to go around. And you're pointing out the good criticisms. You know, these are apt criticisms. And there was a lot of that with the Biden operation, his group, keeping her on the fringes like that and not fighting back. And it goes back to what we were just talking about, the strength. If you know, even before he knew he was dropping out, he should have been pushing back on this.
Yes.
The White House should have been, she is not the border czar. She is doing this and this.
Yeah.
She works on this. She does this. But they kind of, and all vice presidents tend to get marginalized to a point.
What I think is interesting, and if you want to jump into the conversation this morning, and if you have opinions on whether or not you agree or disagree with this report or with us, we'd love to hear from you. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. What I think is interesting is that one of the things that the Trump administration did really, really well in this second go around is give J.D. Vance a role right from the start. Now, obviously, I know that's changed over the course of the last few months.
Yeah.
But at the start, it was very much, this is J.D. Vance. He's going to come out and he's going to be the attack dog. He's going to tell you that the policies this president is enacting are good because of this. Whether you agree with that or not, there was a specific role for him. When Kamala Harris got into the White House, when Joe Biden was elected, I'm not sure they really knew what to do with her.
Well, there was the whole controversy because Joe Biden had made the mistake of saying he was going to pick a minority woman to be vice president. So no matter who had been put in there, they were under an extra microscope because were they just there because Joe Biden didn't want to go back on his word that they wanted to put an African-American woman in the seat.
Yeah.
Now, I know she was qualified.
Sure.
You know she was qualified. Most people do. But there were some, even in this party, that were questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
Does she really belong as vice president? Weren't there other more qualified candidates, hint, hint, white guys? Weren't there others that could have done the job better? But before we start wrapping this up, there was blame to be placed at Kamala Harris's feet. And a lot of it was how they seem to take a lot of it for granted. This is according to the report. So they said she focused too much on college-educated suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
It left gaps with Josh Stein, who was the North Carolina gubernatorial candidate. And so she left big gaps at unwinnable levels. She lagged in rural areas, which proved to be insurmountable in swing states. We saw it here.
Mm-hmm.
Harris wrote off rural America, assuming urban and suburban margins would compensate. That is dangerous and stupid.
Which I thought was hilarious, though, because here in this state, there was so much campaigning in the rural areas.
She was here all over.
To the point that there were times that I was like, wow, they're not doing much in the actual urban areas. It was a lot of rural areas that they tended to put her in. So I thought that was an interesting analysis.
But was it every rural area or just a swing state's rural area?
That's the question.
That's why we got it here. And it also said, and this goes to your point you made earlier, Jamie, that she didn't define herself adequately against Trump.
Yep.
It was just, he's unacceptable.
Yes.
And I'll do this.
They took it for granted that he was an unacceptable candidate.
And he was.
But they didn't do enough to, and I think that was it, right? They didn't do enough to position her because Joe Biden was literally getting lagged down by the economic messaging coming from the Republicans. Mm-hmm. She was dragged down by all of that. Joe Biden's economy was much better than it is now. But let's be realistic. Yes. It was teetering. Right. It was right there on the edge. And I don't believe that there was enough what we heard from her specifically of what she would do differently. In fact, she even said, well, I kind of like what Joe's done, essentially is what she said.
Yeah.
And I plan on continuing to do that. That's not what people wanted to hear.
It was a bad day.
Yeah.
It was a bad day on
The
View. The other thing that they they brought up, and it goes to taking for granted, but this was not just Kamala Harris. This was the whole Democratic Party. They did not really define. They just figured everybody knows how bad Trump is. We don't have to hammer on it. And they actually did. That was a big failure of analysis. With his favorability as low as it was, it should have been, let's focus on this, let's focus on this.
Yeah.
Packers Mount Rushmore. Is Aaron Rodgers on it? We will talk about that with you after this. It's Daybreak. She's Jamie Martinson. I'm Brian Noonan. This is The Civic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. We hope you are having a great start to your Friday morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. All right. Does Aaron Rodgers go on your Packers Mount Rushmore? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll go around the horn in a minute. But first, Aaron Rodgers, if you have not heard, is planning to retire after this season. He has said this is it. This is his 22nd season. He is, of course, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, according to ESPN's Brooke Pryor, when asked Wednesday if the campaign would be his last in the NFL, Rodgers answered, yes, this is it. And then the Atlantic's Brendan Howe reported that he said it as well. The Steelers announced Monday that Rodgers has signed a one-year deal to return for a second season with the franchise. He said Wednesday he had originally some doubt about whether he would retire and hadn't made his decision until after the 2026 NFL draft wrapped up in April. So Aaron Rodgers still playing.
He's back.
Our
with
resident
Mike
Packer fans.
He's back.
Yes.
It's a reunion. And it actually surprises me because, boy, that was an icy breakup.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't at the end. They
it
were
was
not
icy.
Chummy.
No, they were not.
Yeah, but can you.
But he had his
no
most success under McCarthy.
That, and there's no shot that Rodgers would have gone without a retirement tour.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, his ego would not allow him to do that. No, I understand that. So
ayahuasca in every city, a steam hut before the game,
Parker,
midfield.
I'm going to start with you. Is he on your Mount Rushmore of Packers?
I think he is.
He has to be, right?
Yeah, I think he needs to be because of the fact that it, and this is piggybacking off of the fact that Brett Favre has to be on that Mount Rushmore as well.
Agreed.
I think, I just think he needs to be because he was able to continue that success.
I mean, are we talking just players? Because if we're talking anybody, then I'm putting like Ron Wolf up there too, right? Because of what he was able to do to turn the team around when he came back in. When he was hired to, you know, basically change the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I would also put Ron Wolf up there as well. Reggie White.
You only get four.
Yeah.
Reggie White would be another one I'd put up because he also changed the franchise. But if you look, the three players that I would put up there all kind of came from the same era under the same coaching tree.
Yeah, it is. For players, I would have Rodgers, Favre, Reggie White, and then I think Vince Lombardi.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Wolf is a really good argument as well. I think I would go to Vince Lombardi first, though, because he laid the foundation and he did do that front office kind of stuff.
You get four people, just for the record. There are four heads on Mount Rushmore. I'm talking to you, Jamie.
You rattled off like 18 names.
Yeah.
45-man roster.
I just think that's it. I think there are a lot of options, and it depends on if you want to go really old school to the very beginning of the Packers' history or if you want to look at the rebuild, because let's be realistic, as Bears fans, you are all very well aware that in the 1980s, this team sucked.
Right, but you have to. I think you have to. If it were me, as an outsider, it's Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
It's Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and then I'm torn. Do I go Curly Lambeau as the founder and the original coach? Do I go Bart Starr, who brought Green Bay to like national prominence? That fourth spot is a little is a big question. But the first three should be no-brainers, and I would have to go, I would say, because I grew up as a little kid, the only player I ever knew outside of the Bears was Bart Starr, and Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw. Those were the only ones. So I'm going to go Lombardi, Starr, Favre, Rogers.
That's Roger from Rushmore. Stevens Point chiming in saying his Rushmore would be Starr, Lombardi, Favre, and Rogers.
Same as mine.
Yep.
Good there thinking, Roger. Great minds. Great minds. And I'm, you know, I don't even have any skin in this game.
I'm surprised to see both quarterbacks in a lot of people's Mount Rushmores. I mean, the Packers have such a long history.
Right. That's why the Mount Rushmore is hard.
I feel bad that there's no defensive players on my. Yeah. I don't know who I would put in from historic.
You have Reggie White. You have Ray Nitschke.
Yeah. I mean, I guess too, for a lot of people, and if you talk to Packers fans, I think a lot of them would put Rodgers on there. But then the fact that he was only able to win the one Super Bowl, but yet get so close so many times, I think for some also tarnishes that, because that was always the biggest. When you talk to Packers fans, that is where their mind goes. Well, he only brought us one trophy, right? And I'm going to go out on a limb here, hot take this morning. I don't even believe it was Aaron Rodgers' leadership that propelled that team. I believe it was Charles Woodson in 2010.
Another really good one of the greatest defensive backs of all time.
It's very hard. How do you narrow it down to four?
Roger in Stevens Point says Starr, Lombardi, Favre, Rodgers. Again, three
Jimmy
quarterbacks.
Just read that. That was nice. Thank you for the repeat.
Three quarterbacks is a lot. I have a hard time putting all three of them on there.
There's got to be other. And that was mine too. But As I think more about it, I think it's because it's easy with quarterbacks, right? They get all the headlines.
Yeah,
everybody knows it. So
Brian, what is your Mount Rushmore of Packers boogeymen? The people, the names that just haunt you. Because I'm trying to think of it that way.
Wow. Brett Favre.
Aaron Rodgers. Enemy number one.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah, those two.
Oh.
But you mentioned Reggie.
Raji.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at the Bears fans now really thinking through this one really, this morning.
Yeah, it's like, there's so many nightmares.
Donald Driver, again, Green.
Yeah. It's like, who makes the Mount Rushmore of that? The same list that made the Packers Mount Rushmore, you know? Because all those people brought dread
what
to
I
Bears
love
fans.
Is that we can't like just land on anything because there's so many people to choose from. No. So, good job.
All right, well, when we come back, it is going to be after the news, and we'll share some stuff you need to know. A lot going on in the next hour. Swipe or stay, and we'll talk to the fabulous Farm Babe. It's all coming up on Daybreak right here on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.